What's up, guys? Welcome to the Locked On Clippers podcast. I am Positive Chuck Mockler, and finally, the triumphant return of...
William, the opinion Updike. What about your opinion now?
Your opinion Updike. Oh, man, he's back and already out swinging. This is great.
As I speak, I'm wearing two berets, jamming on a baguette. Let's do it.
We're going to wrap up some of the... just a couple NBA preseason games that have some storylines fairly heavily throughout them. Going to look at the Clippers season outlook. And then finally, our final preseason edition of The Freshies. So... quick news for some Clippers alums. The Sunside Jamal Crawford.
Good for him.
Going to be able to shoot. More veteran leadership.
Yeah. Do you know what the contract was?
I have no idea what the contract is. Let's assume it's reasonable because Jamal's a good guy. But I'm especially happy for anyone who is playing offense against Devin Booker and Jamal Crawford at the same time.
Yeah.
He's going to have a lot of fun to shoot. The Suns seem kind of low-key. Like,
do you think he'll start?
No.
Who are they starting at the one?
I don't know. Maybe he will start, dude.
I just kind of wonder.
That'd be awesome. I would get a Crawford Suns jersey.
Yeah. That seems like a good place for him to kind of finish out. This is his 19th NBA season?
It's a lot. Sneaky 19 NBA year career. Good for Jamal. Couple quick NBA games to kind of go over. The Bucks. I mentioned this on Friday. I didn't know if the Timberwolves were going to come out energized or get destroyed. They got destroyed. 143-121. And you were in Europe for most of this saga. Do you think Jimmy Butler's going to play on Wednesday? What's going to happen with the Timberwolves? Like, what is... are they just back to normal now after this dust up?
No. There's no way they can be
it
back to normal.
It feels weird, right?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing is... I think with Jimmy Butler, they're kind of barely hanging on in the West. And you can say whatever you want about them being the supposed three seed or whatever. Don't care. They finished eighth, dude. So I still see them as like a very likely playoff team. But with Jimmy Butler, you know, it's pretty rare when that unit is functioning as functional as it can. You know, yeah. I don't think the relationship's ever been great.
For sure.
One side note I do want to point out is that apparently after he yelled at everybody, Wiggins
dapped him up
on the way out. What a loser.
I think he was just scared, dude. I think this was just like when you're a little kid and you see someone get bullied and you don't have fight or flight, so you just freeze and it turns into, he just froze in the dap position.
It's like the equivalent of like you going commando and someone trying to give you a wedgie, but they can't. So you're like, oh, let me put on some underwear for you, dog.
I got you, dog. That was a really good idea you had earlier with the pants, dude. I don't know what's going to happen because it's weird because then he was like, he didn't want to be on the team, and then he said he'd play for them, and then he maybe held the players-only meeting, and now they're down, and now Tibbs is like, no, he's going to play on Wednesday. It's going
to
be great.
According to my dude...
Jeff Teague?
Jeff Teague, not a player.
Did you know he hadn't tweeted in like 4 months, and then he sent that tweet out, which makes it even more awesome. Anyway, the Bucks destroyed him. I think the Timberwolves are going to be hapless this year. I also think they're so disorganized, they might just keep everybody. They're so, like, just don't seem to know how to function. They might just be like, well, we'll ride it out.
Yeah, I see Jimmy Butler staying. I just don't think the the assets are really out there to make a trade happen. It might change a little bit closer to the deadline, but I do think that up until the All-Star break, we will probably be seeing Jimmy Butler in a Timberwolves jersey.
Until he gets hurt because he didn't get the right knee surgery. There were 10 games on Friday. We're only going to go over two of them. The Lakers beat the Warriors 119-105. I really thought the Warriors were just going to come out and crush them. You know, like last preseason game, you think at home, they'd be like, let's assert our dominance.
Yeah, but Draymond didn't play.
A ton of people didn't play. I was looking at the stat sheet. Do you think Durant's going to go to New York if they three-peat? That's like already... so many people have been talking about that.
I think it's really unpredictable to know what Durant is going to do.
Yeah.
I do think that that's something... that's probably the most interesting thing, I think, about Durant, honestly. I mean, he's a great player.
You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, and like you just never kind of know what he's going to do next.
Yeah, he's very shrouded in mystery.
Yeah, which I do enjoy. I don't know. I guess I would be a little bit surprised if he didn't go somewhere just due to like... I mean,
wanting to prove the haters wrong.
Yeah, that and like just, I mean, by way of sheer cap restraints.
He deserves some more money. He still took a cut.
Yeah.
I think people sometimes maybe forget about that.
So, yeah, I don't really know. I would be kind of surprised if he keeps staying. But at the same time, I mean, like, why leave a winning system?
Yeah, I think he might leave just to get paid. I don't know if it'll be New York. I'm not sure really the connection there.
I don't know. Like, yeah. I mean, other than it being like in a huge market and they have some attractive, like, I mean,
yeah,
I'm like saying that skeptically, but they have like some attractive young guys and, you know, playing with Fizz.
Yeah, who knows? They'll probably three-peat this year anyway, so it doesn't even matter. Previewing tomorrow's games. Opening day. I can't believe it's here. It feels so weird that it's here. Thanks for sticking through us throughout the entire offseason. You guys really got to see us at our lowest point content-wise. 76ers versus Celtics. Hayward's going to be limited for the first month or so of the season to 25 to 30 minutes a game.
Which, is that really a limit?
I didn't think. I was like, well, so you're going to play him 38 like, of the 40? Who do you think wins this game?
I see the Celtics winning this game.
That's kind of, yeah, I agree with that.
I think some fun things that to watch, though, are definitely going to be a look at how the 76ers offense has evolved. Mm-hmm. They were like one of the lowest teams in the usage of the pick and roll last year. It was very clearly got exposed when they played against the Celtics in that series that they didn't have a diversified enough offense.
My favorite part of that series was that the Celtics on defense, when Ben Simmons would bring the ball up, they would all five just line up at the foul line. And they're just like, shoot, dude.
We dare you.
We literally, we dare.
So maybe we'll get to see that game time shot. A little bit of Fultz. I mean, I believe Fultz is going to be starting over Redick.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is great. Good for Fultz. I think he gets so much undue. He's like 20 or whatever. Like, let the kid grow.
Yeah, yeah. We'll see what happens. We'll also see like what's going to happen with the spacing since they lost some of their outside shooters in the offseason.
Yeah. Yeah, Redick has a much more responsibility.
Oh, yeah. Now. Like, definitely. But I'm excited. I'm excited to see him. I'm excited to see how they've grown on defense. I think that like that's going to be one of the most underrated aspects of the Sixers, actually, is like with Fultz on the floor, like he's a big dude at that position. Like their defense is like
he's thicker
should be pretty solid.
For sure. And he gets a lot of chase down blocks.
Yeah.
Which like are seemingly the new hotness.
But ultimately, I mean, I think the Celtics are going to win. I think they're going to probably have a pretty big game.
Yeah, I think this is a pretty good preview of a possible also Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah.
Definitely. I think, yeah, I also think the Celtics are going to win. Kyrie is growing his hair out, and that seems to give him some crazy superpowers. So I got to go with mini Afro Kyrie.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see how Brad is going to run like the rotations and the minutes for each player.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously.
With that 30-minute restriction on Gordon Hayward.
Yeah, that and then, you know, the younger guys who showed out last year. And I don't know, they're so deep. I'm really excited to see like how those rotations.
And those younger guys seem. They really like bought into the like, all right, we understand this year we're not going to get as much playing time. Like, I think that's good to have. Only bad thing about their young guys is that Terry Rozier is signed to Puma. I don't understand that. Thunders versus Warriors coming up. I think the Thunder are going to do well in the first like 9 minutes. I think they're going to be like, whoa, Westbrook's everywhere. This is awesome. And then the Warriors are just going to win by 15.
Yeah, I think the Warriors are going to come out and make a statement. They lost season opener last year to the Rockets in, like, the final minutes.
Oh, they did.
Oh,
yeah, that was when, man. A lot of people overreacted to that.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this is the changing of the guard. Like,
it wasn't wrong, though. I mean, they were the 1-2 teams.
They were close.
So, yeah, I mean, hot take. Okay, OKC wins tomorrow. They finish first in the Western Conference. That'll never happen.
It could happen.
No, I think that
it's and it's in Oakland.
Yeah,
I didn't realize that.
I think they're going to look to make a statement. Durant is probably going to have some ridiculous stat line.
He's so efficient. He's so efficient. It's almost like boring to read his stat lines.
Yeah, and Boogie Cousins won't play, but I do still think that he's going to put every OKC player in a headlock and give him a noogie.
No fines.
Zero fines.
You can't find an injured player if he's not playing, dude. It's impossible to get fined. That was a bit of our preview. Coming up after this, we're just going to do a bit of a season outlook and talking about the Clippers cuts. So the Clippers very recently just traded Wes Johnson to the Pelicans for Alexis Njika, and Njika will probably be waived, which saves the Clippers $800,000.
Wow.
What I would do with $800,000. No one from Lob City anymore.
I would sign Wes Johnson to be my personal assistant.
For $800,000.
Yeah, watch him fall over all the time.
10-year contract for $80,000. So there's no one from Lob City, and Juwan is probably getting waived as well per Woj. That one kind of hurts.
Yeah.
I'm bummed Juwan's gone.
But I mean, I think the writing was on the wall. We all kind of saw it coming.
He had such a bad preseason.
Yeah.
Which
was not a great summer league, not a great preseason.
It was hard to watch him in preseason because it seemed like he was really trying, and then maybe towards the last couple games, it was like, I don't know if he wasn't locked in or something, but it was like the writing was on the wall, and I think he maybe knew it too.
Yeah.
He's going to end up on a team, though.
Yeah, I do think that there's a spot on him for on that second or third unit somewhere. He's still, you know, so young, got a lot of room to grow.
Yeah. His defense just doesn't compare with Sindarius's. I think it may have been a toss-up between those two guys. And I think Sindarius's defense is just
Well, Juwan is a great defender. A lot of people cite, like, their favorite Juwan moment is him, like, defending Harden.
Yeah.
Real
dog out there.
Yeah. So I definitely think that there's going to be a spot for him on a team looking for a guard. Just not the Clippers, man.
Yeah, really.
A little stockpiled there.
Kind of bummed. I mean, I'm glad Milos is still on the team, but someone pointed out on Twitter that Juwan kind of fits in more with the, like, grit and grind vibe we're going for than, like, Milos does.
I agree with that. I think that Milos is still...
He just sees the floor better.
He sees the floor a little bit better.
Better hair.
Better hair. I don't know. I guess I would say that his offensive upside is maybe higher than Juwan's all-around upside for right now. Like, for this season.
For sure. That's a good point.
And I would still be pretty surprised if post the All-Star break, Milos hasn't been traded.
So. Yeah, he's got to go to the Spurs, right? Like, they need someone to run their offense.
Yeah.
And apparently the Pelicans are very excited to get Wesley Johnson for wing depth, so that's pretty telling of how their season's going to go, I think. But they got a star signing Wes Johnson. So now we're going to – let's get into kind of what we think this upcoming season.
Oh, yeah, you were dumping on the Pelicans.
I was dumping on the Pelicans.
I don't think that's fair.
I think it's going to be a thing where we're going to watch AD and Julius crush, and some nights it's going to go great, but it's going to be so inconsistent that they're going to be frustrated. They lost to the third stringers in that last preseason game, and AD had like 36 and 12.
I know, but preseason doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's true. I just want to see some consistency. Yeah, if they get to the playoffs, they're going to destroy. I think they're going to be one of those teams.
They still do have, like, a bit of a question. They are another team with, like, a question mark at point guard. Why aren't you guys making an offer for Milos?
Yeah.
Come on!
We have so many guards. Like, the point was to get an offer from freaking somebody.
But anyway, sorry to get us off sidetrack.
No
Back
worries.
To our... So, season outlooks for the Clippers. What do you got?
I have... So, ESPN, first of all, has the Clippers as ranked 21st on the power rankings with the Mavs ahead of us. Ass article. Ass writing is what I put in these notes. I think... Their best case scenario from ESPN was 44 wins, and I think we're going to get 42, but I think that's neutral case scenario.
Yeah.
I think we're going to get 42 wins. I think it might maybe not come down to directly the last game of the season, but I think we're going to see a repeat of last year where, like, four teams are a game and a half away with, like, three games left.
Yeah.
And I think we might, barring injuries, obviously, we might be able to sneak in to, like, that seventh spot. Maybe with just one game better record than the eighth seed or something like that. But if everything clicks, I think we're going to be low playoff seed. Worst case scenario, ESPN had us winning 28 games as a worst case scenario. I think worst case scenario, we win like 35. I think we're so balanced that there's not such a sharp drop off.
I agree, yeah. I think our worst case and best case scenario, just because of the way the roster is currently like constructed, are actually fairly close to one another.
Yeah, it's not a large.
Yeah, it's like variation. It's not a crazy drop, but yeah, I would say similar. Like best case scenario, finishing. I mean, I would say probably finishing eight, but most likely scenario, I would say probably just outside of the playoffs.
Yeah, you peg us at like that 40 win area.
Yeah, although I do think that there is a bigger potential for upside. Then like the downside, to be perfectly honest.
For sure.
And I feel like a lot of people are underrating us, and I kind of see us as being like the Utah Jazz of the Pacific.
Expand.
All right. So last year, the Jazz's biggest star was out for most of the season.
Yeah.
And aside from that, they don't really have they don't have marquee stars.
For sure.
Donovan Mitchell now.
Only because he's a rookie. Yeah.
And Donovan Mitchell, like, now. But he's still, I mean, if you're not a basketball fan,
You probably don't know who Donovan.
You probably don't know who Donovan Mitchell
no
is.
No disrespect to Donovan Mitchell.
Oh, none at all.
Yeah.
So, like, I see us in that little bit of the same boat. Last year, we obliterated the Jazz in pace. We were 7th. They were 25th.
I was shocked we were 7th in pace last year.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't think we were that fast.
A quick team, and that's, like, with... And like, that's, you know, with...
a hodgepodge of lineups and stuff.
Yeah, so I would see that being... You know, I could... We'll definitely be in the top 10 in pace. I could maybe even see us going top 5 just because of how young our guys are and how everybody... I mean, even our vets have legs.
Yeah.
You know, maybe not so much for Beverly. But some other similarities, I mean... And points, we also were better than them, 109 versus 104, average scoring. And so their offensive rating last year was 108, which is good for 16th place.
Yeah, middle of it, yeah.
Yeah, ours is 110, which was 8th, and I think that that's going to be higher this year.
Okay.
Especially with Gallo back.
Yeah.
Full time. And I think that our second unit is going to be a little better. They were 2nd last year in defensive rating. We were... 20th.
Hey!
But that was before we added Luke and Bradley. And there was a stat that I pulled up somewhere that when Bradley was on the floor, he boosted our defensive rating to a top 3 mark.
Damn.
He did drop our offensive rating.
but we got Shea now.
Yeah, but I think with that, I think that, like, I just do think that we can have a top 5 defense this year.
I really like that take. I think they were going to be good. I never really thought top 5, but... If they can get the rotations right, I don't see why not. Like,
yeah.
Shea's so long. Boban apparently is going to play fairly meaningful minutes when he should.
And I think that he'll, start playing like 15 a game.
Yeah, that classic minutes restriction. And he's hard to score against. I didn't realize we were so close. That top 3 defensive rating stat is super interesting. You think Shea might be this year's kind of Donovan Mitchell type thing?
Yeah, and I don't know that it'll be like as... So obviously it won't be as dramatic.
Different roles and like...
Different roles, and he's not going to get the amount of minutes that Donovan did. But I do think... Yeah, I do think that we're kind of in a similar position to where people aren't expecting a whole lot from us. You know, when Rudy Gobert went out last year, like it was...
They were written off.
Yeah, it seemed like the Jazz probably wouldn't even make the playoffs.
Yeah.
And, you know... Now they're predicted as like a 58, maybe not 58, but 55 plus win
squad.
Yeah,
people think they're going to be like maybe a top 3 team in the West.
And we're predicted as a 35 win squad, which I think is absurd.
Are they using computers? If they're using computers, the idiots. Computers are wrong.
Because I just see us as being a lot closer. And yeah, with that more kind of gritty play that we're involving this year, and I think if we can really bring that defensive rating up and our offense stays as consistent as it has been, and the pace stays the same or improves, I just think that, we're in that, I feel like we're in that same conversation.
I like that a ton, and so much of it depends on the ball movement, because you look at the 5 preseason games, which we went undefeated, and it's no big deal, preseason champions. Every game where we put up a ton of points, we had like 25-plus team assists.
Yeah.
So if we keep those numbers up, a lot of people underrate Patrick Beverley's playmaking, I think. I kind of talked about this on the Friday episode about the hockey assist. Of how I wish that was a stat kept in basketball.
Yeah.
Because it really can dictate how you set it up. Lonzo Ball's great at the hockey assist and, like, embraces it.
Mm-hmm.
I think Patrick Beverley's really good at that, too, and people just don't. You know, he's such a defensive-branded guy that it makes sense. But, like, if we can get those team assists to, like, around 25 a game, I think we'll be in the top 10 for pace and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Depth is the only thing. You know what? I don't really want to talk about depth. I agree with you on all those points.
And our depth is deeper than that of the Jazz.
You think so?
I think so.
Yeah, I guess I could see that. We can go over some lineups in the next segment, but it does look... And, like, that's the nice thing about having such an even-keeled team, is that it's like, if one person goes out, it's not, you know, if Gobert and Donovan Mitchell go out for the Jazz.
Yeah.
They're kind of screwed. Maybe not screwed, but,
if,
like...
If one of them goes out, they're screwed.
Yeah. Well, last year they weren't really with Gobert.
I know, but they would have been had he not come back.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. So, like, if one of those guys goes out, Donovan Mitchell looked really good in the preseason. That'd be great if we were kind of Jazz light or, like, LA Jazz. It's nice, too, because the pressure's kind of off the guys because LeBron's on the Lakers. So, it's like they can kind of grow and do their thing.
Yeah.
I think if LeBron wouldn't have gone to the Lakers, I feel like people wouldn't be sleeping on the Clippers. They would just be nitpicking a lot more with what's wrong with them.
Yeah, like, definitely.
It'd just be open season on the Clippers. So after this ad, we're going to talk about the opening night depth chart, which is going to be fantastic. But first, Will, there's a game coming up. Where are you getting tickets?
I don't know. I guess I was going to check eBay.
eBay? What is it, 2006? You should check out Vivid Seats, dude. You can go by venue. You can go by event. Heck, you can pick by seat at the venue. All you need to do is, if you're a first-time customer, use promo code LOCKEDON in all capital letters to get $20 off your first order of $200 or more.
Wow. All I have to do is enter what?
LOCKEDON, all capital letters, for $20 off your first order of $200 or more. You can take your kids. You can take your kids' kids. I know you're 78 years old. You guys want to go see plays. Check out Vivid Seats. They got a satisfaction guarantee, authenticity guarantee. Again, that promo code is LOCKEDON, all capital letters, for your first $20 off an order of $200 or more. So now that that's over with, we can get into the freshies, which this week, I guess, is going to be kind of just what we want to see from the first game for lineup-wise.
Yeah.
The projected depth chart is going to be the first squad is going to be Pat, Avery Bradley, Tobias Gallo, and Gortat. Two lineup is going to be Shea, Lou Williams, Luke Mbamute, Mike Scott, and Trez. Third lineup, which is actually going to be really interesting to watch, Milos, Jerome, Sindarius, maybe Ty, Motley, and probably not Motley, and then Boban. Those are really interesting lineups. They all bring such a different vibe to the court, I feel like.
They really do. And it's, I mean, I feel like all the way through, it's like fairly significant depth.
Yeah, like that third lineup is really kind of great to read off, because you got Milos, who's great at seeing the court. Hopefully Jerome can kind of get into a rhythm. Ty Wallace had such a crazy good preseason.
Yeah, I think I honestly might see the third lineup being a little bit closer to something like Milos, Ty at the two, Sindarius at the three.
That's what I kind of thought with Ty, because he's a little smaller than those other guys. Where do you see Jerome? Do you think Jerome's maybe not firmly in the third string? You think he kind of gets spelled?
I think he could get some minutes. I mean, I think that I would see him getting less minutes at the two probably than Ty. But, I mean,
I agree with that.
That could definitely change. You know, Ty is just kind of already proven that he's, you know, like he's a great, he's a rotational player.
Yeah.
He's a definite piece. Doc knows him, you know.
He kind of like planted his flag this preseason. Like, it felt like every possession that he had the ball, he was like, this is, I'm staying on this damn team.
Yeah, well, and we made a point of like not letting him walk. So I would just be very surprised if it wasn't him kind of not starting, but being the main guy in that third position there at the two. And then I would like to see Sindarius take up some more minutes at the three, especially defensively. I think that's going to be a lot better of a matchup. He's going to be really good at switching, and I think from that position he offers a little bit more versatility. And then you know, he can also finish at the rim a little bit better than
Milos.
or Jerome or Ty.
Yeah.
So I guess I'd kind of like to see him at the three.
He'll have to do a lot of work on defense too. Like this third lineup is going to be a little suspect on defense, except for Sindarius.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm excited. First lineup, I think, is going to be, I think people are so severely underrating Patrick Beverley, Avery Bradley, Tobias Gallo, and Gortat.
Yeah, well, I think it's not, you know, if you're not super familiar with any of these players, it's not a sexy sounding lineup.
Gortat, I think, really is the only reason it's not. I think if it was any other center, I think if it was Trez or Boban, people would be really liking it. But I think for some reason, Gortat has this weird stigma that, like, he sucks.
Really? Interesting. Because I think that it's more... I think that people are super unfamiliar with Tobias Harris.
Yeah.
Like, if you didn't watch Clippers games, no one watched Pistons games. No one watched Magic games.
That's a very good point.
So you probably have no idea who he is. Gallo, you haven't seen play in, I don't know, 10 years.
Decades. ever since he was throwing punches.
And you know,
think Patrick Beverley's old, I guess.
Yeah.
And Avery Bradley has perpetual sad face, I feel like.
Yeah, and he's not known as like a... I don't know. He's not known as like an electrifying offensive player or something. So I definitely can see like
your average NBA fan.
Yeah, it not sounding like the sexiest lineup. I could see if you're like a hyper casual fan, really probably not knowing who any of these dudes are, except for, I mean, I guess maybe Gortat. Like, I don't.
Yeah, it's funny, Tobias. When there was all these tweets about us maybe getting Jimmy Butler, some Lakers fan was like, "Oh yeah, I'm sure that." It was great for Doc Rivers to say he'd rather have Tobias Harris than Jimmy Butler. And it's like, yeah, we would. It just goes to show how little people, I think, you're right, understand that Tobias has improved every year he's been in the league. He averaged 20-6 last year.
Yeah, no, he's great, and I just don't, yeah, I don't think that people, I really would be surprised if most people knew that.
The second lineup, I think fans are probably most excited for just because you're going to see Shea.
Yeah.
Shea and Lou is going to be.
Shea and Lou is just going to be. That's a fun backcourt.
Dude, it's going to be so sweet. Like, if Mike Scott can hit open shots, this is going to be one of the better, if not best, second units. Trez out there. God, I can't wait. Trez doing the finger guns to the Timberwolves bench in that preseason game is one of my favorite basketball memories of all time, dude. It's the rudest thing to do in a preseason game when you're blowing out an opponent. Just a quick to touch on before we wrap it up here, it really does seem like they're going to use Boban a lot more this year.
It makes sense. So a big factor in Boban's playing time, I guess, is going to determine how well he's going to be able to guard not only like around the rim, obviously, but how well he's going to be able to stop shooters.
And the pick and roll. Like there was a couple times against the Nuggets he got eaten alive on it, but they did a good job of kind of masking him.
Yeah. And for whatever reason, he's had some of his best games against the Nuggets, so I don't
get that.
Yeah, so I don't know that if we can count like that preseason game as too much of an indication. But yeah, I don't know, man. He's a perplexing, figure at the five.
When he plays, it's, cause like the matchups are going to dictate if he plays. And so far, Doc has gotten the matchups pretty right.
Yeah.
Like if it's a slow center, Boban will feast.
Yeah.
Cause he's almost as fast as there. He's just so big. He doesn't look as fast, but he can cover so much ground that like when it's a slow center, he's literally pushing Jokic away with like one arm in those clips, dude. Like,
it's one of those things, too, where, like, last year, you know, we only got a half a season to really work with it. And I think so, he didn't get as much time, and we didn't really understand how to work him into a lineup
for
more effectively.
And all the injuries, it was just such a...
Yeah, so it was kind of a cluster last season. And so I think that just by the benefit of having him integrated with the squad for a full 82 games this season, we're going to get a much clearer... look at like the identity of where he's going to stand in that minutes thing. And I think that we're going to find more effective ways of using him, whether that be to close out games or if he sees, you know, like more regular minutes rotation throughout the entirety of the game. I mean, I guess it still just remains to be seen.
Yeah, I could see him as a closeout role when the other team's getting tired. You just put Boban in. It's like, try and guard me, dude.
Yeah.
Use all your energy.
Yeah.
I also think that the medical staff in Los Angeles for any team in any league is better than the medical staff for any other city, just because we live in LA, so I assume it's better. So I feel like they're going to be able to take care of his body a little bit more, and he changed up his routine to stay healthy, which is nice. That wraps up your first episode back.
Oh, man.
How's it feel?
It feels great.
NBA season kicking off soon. We cannot be more excited. We are going to the game on Wednesday. We will have a preview for you guys tomorrow. I have been positive, Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William, the Opinion Update.
Your opinion.
Your opinion.
We'll see you guys tomorrow. Thanks, y'all.